And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to try a French Bordeaux. Yes, it's been a little while since we've had one, so I thought we'd try one tonight and see how it tastes and how it pairs with food. Now, tonight, tonight I do not have a great food presentation to show you. It's something I prepared myself. This is because my lovely wife, Chi, and my daughter, Tia, are up in Chicago this weekend celebrating a wedding. They are attending a wedding for a friend of ours and her new husband, and, well, we're going to toast them tonight, as a matter of fact. So her birthday is tomorrow. So I'm also going to be toasting her birthday on the show tonight. I almost forgot about that, didn't I? Not good. Somebody remind me just in case I forget during the show. All right. Well, welcome to the show tonight. This is Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes and they're right here as always. Different show notes for a different episode, but I don't always follow them verbatim. We do go off the beaten path quite a bit because we are, the show isn't about me. It's somewhat about the wine, but the show is really about you and me all together, all of us together in the chats with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are. You know, you can drink whatever you want as long as you're legal to drink it. It's fine. You can drink water. It's fine, too. I have a little water here, as a matter of fact. My throat's a little dry, so probably could use some. But that's what we're here to do. We're here to just sit back, kick back on a Saturday night, just having a great time. Now, we don't talk about politics or religion on the show. We talk about things that bring people together. So bring in your topics for the chat, or pretty much ask me anything that I can talk about in the chat, pretty much. We keep it clean. It's family friendly. But you'll want to get in the chat so you can chat with me, and we'll just have a great time together. Remember, the show's about you and me, and you really direct this show based on what we bring up and talk about. So I do have some things here, but it's really just for entertainment only. This is really just about us and just sitting around and shooting the breeze, so to speak, on a Saturday night. So join in. And we're going to check the chats in just a moment. Before I do that, let me tell you where you can join us in the chats, because that's very important. Can't chat if you don't know where the chat is, right? So that's what we're going to do. All right, so the Saturday Night Wine Stream is live. We are live on our Facebook page at Drink with Rick. It's facebook.com/drinkwithrick. YouTube is at Drink with Rick. Twitch is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick1, Drink with Rick and the number one. Now, we are not on we're not doing it live on Twitter, but you can tweet me at Twitter. Also, Odyssey is at Drink with Rick. Go to odyssey.com/@drinkwithrick, /7, and you can chat with me live there. Also, I think we're live on the website. Let me check. I really was a little late starting the show tonight, as I often am, basically because tonight I was pretty much doing everything myself. I didn't have Chi here to help prep the food for me, so she does that pretty much every week. So that I didn't have that. Okay, we are live on the website. How about that? Cool. All right. So you can reach me there. Now, on the website, we are live, but we don't have a chat going there. If you want to chat with me, you can open up the page for tonight's show. It would be, where is it? Right on here. Just go click on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Actually, it's right here. It's on the same page. You can see it right here. And you can you can click on the post, and you'll get a little box down below where you can chat with me somewhere down below. It should be down there. It's not popping up here. There it is. A comment. You can put a comment in there, and I will respond in kind. It won't be tonight, but I'll get it eventually, and we'll read on the next episode of the show. Oh, I'm just clicking on all kinds of things, aren't I? Of course, you can buy me coffee if you want. There's no obligation to do that, but you can buy me a coffee. I'm just clicking everywhere. I was going to show you something about Bites Away Radios later. That's for later. I jumped the gun on that, as I often do. So anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So you can listen to the podcast later. If you can't watch now, you can't watch later. You can listen to the podcast pretty much any time. Subscribe page. There we go. I don't know why I keep clicking on that. Okay. You can, I'm just making all kinds of errors tonight. I'm just all over the place. All right. Well, if you can't watch now or I can't watch later, you can also listen anytime. The podcast version of this show goes out at 10 p.m. on Mondays. Mondays, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time right now. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer Radio, Amazon Music, and PodcastIndex.org. Yes, I did skip Stitcher Radio. Yes, you can still hear me on Stitcher Radio, but not after August 29th of this year. Stitcher is going to be going down forever. They are closing down Stitcher. So that is going to be, that's sad news. But Stitcher's going away. So after August 29th, if you have a Stitcher app, if you're listening on the Stitcher app or in your car, whatever on Stitcher, you're not going to be able to hear this show after August 29th on that platform, because it will be gone. That's the sad news. Anyway, on a happier note, my lovely wife Chi is in the chat on YouTube. Wow, surprised to see you, Chi. I figured you'd be out partying. you and Tia partying with all the wedding guests. Chi says hello and right back at you, Chi. I'm glad you're here. You're gonna be laughing at my plate tonight because it's not much of a plate. And let's see, Ether Coney is in the chat on Twitch, and Ether Coney's waving right back at you. It's great to see you here in the chat. Jump in. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me how your week went. Tell me what you're drinking or not drinking. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking or what you'd like to see me drinking. And if I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can find it and give it a fair and honest review and drink it along with you. Won't be right away, but can't run out to the store right now. But and it's a holiday weekend. How about that? Let's see. We're live on Odyssey. We are live on Twitch. We are live everywhere where we can be live. And we are live on Facebook. So everything is good right now in our website. So let's go ahead and start the show. I already have some editing to do in the podcast version. All right, let's get started. Let me show you what we have to drink tonight. This is called Grand Vin de Bordeaux. It's a 2020. It's a Chateau de Seguin. Now, here's the thing about that word, Seguin. Seguin. It's pronounced different ways depending on where you're from. It's I heard it both ways, Seguin, Seguin. And sometimes the N is silent. So sometimes it's Seguin, Seguin, Seguin. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. I took a year of French, and I still don't know how to pronounce anything in French. But there it is. It's a 2020. This is a Bordeaux Superior. And let's see. Let me show you the back. Okay. The back of this, I'm going to read this to you. It's a Chateau de Seguin. It's a Bordeaux Superior. Imported by Plume Ridge in Claremont, California, plumeridge.com. Cuvée, it's pronounced cuvée, actually. Cuvée Prestige can be enjoyed for many years to come, and its quality has received prestigious medals every vintage. Full-bodied with well-structured tannins. Okay, so there's some tannins in this wine. 13.5% ABV in this red wine. It is a product of France. So there's 13.5% alcohol by volume in this 750-milliliter bottle of wine. So that's what we've got going on there in this wine. Now, let me show you. Let's entertain my wife for a moment. Give her a good laugh and show you what we have to pair the wine with. This is on camera three. Camera three, this is what we have to... Yeah, what is that? honestly. Okay, we have a couple of cheeses there. We have a Colby Jack over here. We've got the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda over there. And this in the middle is a meatball. This is a meatball. It's a microwavable meatball with some sauce on it. It has a tomato sauce on it that actually has Merlot wine in it, which is very interesting. Merlot wine in the tomato sauce. I didn't put the wine in there. It was in there when it came out of the bottle. So, and there's a little bit of mozzarella cheese on there. So that's what that's all about. Entertaining, huh? Wait till we eat it. That's going to be really fun. All right, so. My wife is the chef in the house. I try. And I can grill some stuff. I can grill stuff. And I don't do too bad for breakfast. But my wife is the chef. She is the master of the kitchen. She is the master of that sort of thing. And she does a great job at all of that. By the way, we're going to reuse her food presentation from last week because, well, we've got a National Day coming up here that is actually a redo. Well, not really a redo. It's just a repeat. I'll get to that in a minute. Well, on my notes here, we're going to pair this with food. We're going to do the National Days. We've got a National Day in particular that's getting a second chance. And we're going to toast the newlyweds as well, and we're going to toast my wife's birthday also. Did I spill the beans on that one, G? We're going to tell a few dad jokes maybe if we have time, and we're going to do some sci-fi trivia if we have time for that. Let's see if we have some get the sci-fi folks in there, especially on Twitch, and we can do some sci-fi trivia. And I'd like to give away a book, if I can, on the show this week. So we'll see. It depends on everyone's participation. This is going to be kind of a short show, I think. We're cutting it short because I've got a little bit of announcement towards the end of the show about that. And also, this is going to be a light show. Let me get my light show. Where's my light show? Here's my light show. There's my light show going. Got a light show going on tonight. It is going to be a light show. All right, so let's get to opening this bottle of wine. Where's my foil cutter? It's right here. And we're going to cut the foil. And get this puppy opened up here. Where is my... my mechanical corkscrew. It's down here where I usually keep it these days. It says 2020 on the front, see? 2020. All right, we're going to get this mechanical corkscrew thing going. And it's not coming out all the way there. Almost. There we go. Pop. I'll take the cork out later. All right, let's get this aerator in here. Hopefully there's no displacement of the wine here. All right, we got the aerator in place. And to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine trusty Galway. Genuine Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. And to hold the crystal glass, I have my trusty Drink with Rick, the official Drink with Rick coaster. And if you want, you can check my website out at drinkwithrick.com to find out how you can get a pair of these free, just for the cost of a stamp. Okay, so we've got the wine poured in here. I'm going to give it a good swirl. Let's swirl this up really, really good. Get it oxygenated. Get it going. All right. Hey, where's the light show? I thought the light show was going. Maybe it stopped. Okay, we got it going here. I'm going to set this aside just a second. Let me fix that light show thing. All right. Well, it's still going. All right. It's going to set aside for a moment or two to breathe and get some get it some oxygen in it, get it opened up. And while it's doing that, let's learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I'm going to have to, because I closed my bookmarks up here earlier, because I was doing some research around here for this wine, the Chateau de Sagan, Sagan. I don't know. It's wine. It's a Bordeaux. That's what's important. If it's good, we'll see if it's any good. So anyway, I checked around online, didn't find a whole lot of information on it, but I found a little bit, what's there. And we got anybody from Canada here tonight? Well, if there's anyone from Canada, jump in the chats. We're going to toast you all up there in the Great White North, too, because today is a special day for Canada as well. So I'm getting ahead of the national days, but we'll get there. Anyway, I checked around for this wine. I saw that it had a 3.6-star rating out of 19,296 ratings on Vivino. And that's out of all of the years, the vintages. And what do we have here is the 2020 vintage. Apparently, it is featured, according to their sites, featured in the top 25 Bordeaux red wines in North Carolina right now, this vintage. We shall see. And it gave an average price of $11.15. Now, I went down searching through Wine Searcher, and it has it listed, but it's giving the average price at $15. And I think the $14.99 pretty much is at Oak and Barrel in New York. And they didn't list some of the others there, but I'm not going to go through the list. But I'll tell you what I paid for this wine, because I have the receipt right here in my hands. Trader Joe's. I purchased it from Trader Joe's. As a matter of fact, I was actually looking for something else in Trader Joe's, and this caught my eye, because look at this. It's a very interesting label. Kind of a gold label there, right? Not really gold, more like, it's an interesting label. So I thought, well, I'll pick one up and see what it's like, and this is what I have here for the 750-milliliter bottle of the, do I have the right one here? I don't have the right one here. I picked up the wrong one. Here it is. That's the wrong one. Here it is. This is the right receipt from Trader Joe's. Okay. Here it is. The, no, this isn't it either. Where is it? Here it is. Right here. This is for the Chateau de Sagan Bordeaux. $12.99 is what I paid for it. $12.99. So there you go. $12.99 at Trader Joe's. I don't know if this was just kind of a one-time buy there. I've never seen it there before. I don't know how long it's going to be there or if it's at every Trader Joe's, but you might want to check it out. Ether Coney says Canada Day. Yes, Canada Day. And we're going to toast Canada Day here very shortly. So stick around. We're going to toast. Actually, you know, I think we had a couple of things going on here besides that. A few days. I don't want to let that other national day that we're going to celebrate. We're going to toast it. I'm not sure why we're going to toast that other national day, but because we toasted it last week, but we're going to toast it again this week. And I've got some things to show you on it. Let's get to tasting the wine, shall we? Okay, so this is what we've got, this Bordeaux Superior. And let me check the chats one more time, make sure everything's cool, and then we'll get to the actual tasting, then we'll get to all the good stuff. Oh, my lovely wife, she says, eight of us are listening. Well, to everyone listening up there in Chicago, I'll toast you as well. All right, so let me go ahead and taste this wine, and let's see what we've got. Now, once again, this is supposedly a 3.6-star rating. We shall see if it's everything that it's supposed to be. I did forget to tell you that when I checked it out, the grape variety in here, it's three grapes. This is actually a red blend. This is a blend of Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. So that's what this Bordeaux is made of. A Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and a Cabernet Franc, which may actually work out because there is supposedly Merlot in the tomato sauce and that's covering that meatball over there, that meatball. I've got some tasting notes on here that came from their website, and I'm going to read this from their website. It says, aged in oak barrels in the pure tradition of Bordeaux Grands Crus, this wines, this wines is typical blend of predominantly Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, ripe, intensive, and well-structured. Deep red color with purplish tints. The nose is powerful with complex aromas of black fruits, cocoa, and roasted notes. The tack is frank with an ample, generous body. The well-integrated tannins are giving it a long aftertaste. This is from the Chateau de Sagan, website. So let's go ahead and taste it and see if it's what they say it is. I'm going to give it a little sniff first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting I'm getting a little hint of cola in there. That's interesting. Blackberry on the nose. Some black fruits. Let's give it a taste. Okay. Yeah, it kind of fruit forward here. And it is some blackberry. It is a little oaky. And it's a little earthy, actually. And there is a little hint of, taste a little hint of cola in there, but I'm not, I don't think that's what that is. Maybe cocoa. I'm getting just a little slight hint of cola on the tongue, which is interesting. Wasn't expecting that. I didn't see anybody here mention that, but maybe that's just me. But I am getting a lot of black fruit in here, blackberry, some black cherry, and maybe just a hint of oak. Little hint of oak, but it is kind of earthy. It is, and it's not bad though. It has a fairly decent finish. Nice finish, and it's it tastes fairly well balanced. Actually, I kind of like that, and I don't think it's too intense. It says intensive, but I don't find it too intense. I find it's kind of a medium to well bodied wine, medium to full body, but it's kind of a medium tannin. There are tannins in here, but it's medium tannin. But it's not as heavy as I thought it was going to be. So I don't know. They're saying that there is a nice finish. They say they're saying a long aftertaste on their tasting notes. It does have a long finish to it. It does. But it's really more medium bodied, and it's actually, once again, it tastes fairly well balanced. It's not too intense. It says it's kind of intensive, but it's not. I don't think it is. I don't consider it intensive, they say. So, it's okay. It's a pleasant wine to drink. I would say maybe if it's a 2020 and there's a deep punt in here, not real deep punt. There's kind of a deep punt in there, and they said that you can store it for a little while. I would say you could probably store it for a couple of years and then open it up, and it might be a little bit more matured, but it doesn't taste young or anything like that. It's fairly well balanced so far. It's not really a bold wine, it's, once again, it's kind of medium body, and it's not really bold, and it's definitely not a light wine, but somewhere in the middle. But it's not bad. The cola taste is gone. Maybe that was just my mouth. I don't know. But it is a dry wine. This is a dry red wine. And if you don't like dry reds, you might not prefer this. But for those who like dry reds, this is a dry red wine. And medium tannins. It's not too strong on the tannins. Not too light. It's kind of there. There were some, I saw a couple of reviews earlier where they said it was fairly tannic. I don't agree with that. It's just kind of, it's there, but I don't agree that it's it doesn't seem that tannic to me. It's they're there, but it's not overly tannic. All right, let's check the chats again one more time, and then we'll go into the tasting, or the pairing, I should say. All right, we're good everywhere. Let's get into pairing this. Once again, I want to try to keep the show light and short and sweet here. Where are we? Camera 3. There we go. All right, let's try it with the meatball. This is on camera 3. This is a meatball, a beef meatball with, this has some, I'm doing this with my left hand. This has some mozzarella cheese on top. And it's in a tomato sauce, kind of a marinara. It's a marinara sauce, but it has Merlot wine in it. So we're going to give this a try. Camera 1. I don't know how to hold this fork like this. Here we go. We've had these meatballs before. My lovely wife, she prepares them sometimes, puts them in spaghetti and things like that. Pretty good meatballs, actually. Gee, where did you get these meatballs from? Let's try it with wine. Nice. Nice. I got to have another one. I didn't have dinner. I made some of these for Tommy and myself, but then I had to rush up and start the show, so I didn't have time to... let's try a little bit with the... Oh, wow. We got it. Is there a little cheese on there? Not much. Okay. Let's go back to this. That's pretty good, actually. The wine's good. Yeah, nice pairing with this wine. Not bad. I like it. Okay, let's clear the palate for a minute and let's go try the cheeses, huh? It's a little warm in the studio here tonight in Studio A. AC's on, but it's still warm. Let's try it with this Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Let's go back and try it with the Gouda cheese. It's just starting to sweat because it's so warm up here. And the Gouda is Gouda as always. Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Never had a miss on this yet. Oh, wow. Okay. It loses some of its creaminess because, you know, sometimes it makes it. The wine and the cheese combination makes the Gouda creamier. Somehow the Gouda loses some of its creaminess, but it brings out a little more of the flavor of the cheese and the wine, too. And there's a little more oakiness to it with the wine mixed with the cheese. I think that's actually a very interesting combination. But I like it. It's not bad. I think this is actually a pretty good cheese to pair with this wine. With a Bordeaux. Let me go ahead and clear the palate one more time. And let's try it. Let's go back to camera 3. Let's try it with the Colby Jack. This is a Colby Jack cheese. I don't know who makes this, to be honest. Try it with Colby Jack. I like this cheese, by the way. This Colby Jack cheese. Needs a little more wine. All right. Now we can do this. Good with the Colby. Although it adds a little bit of, not bitterness, but a little bit of sourness to it, to the wine. But it's actually pretty decent. It's not a bad taste. But the Colby is actually good. I think it works fairly well with this wine. I think this goes pretty well with the soft, because that's all we had here was soft cheeses. I think it would be okay with the soft cheeses or the hard cheeses, like say you find a Romano or something. A number of different hard cheeses I think it would work with. This is not an Italian wine. This is a French wine. So you would expect it to go with really rich French food. I think it would. But it's also something that would probably go great with a steak. I wouldn't pair this with something like fish or white meats like chicken. Unless you were going to have a chicken parmesan, then it might work okay with, because the tomato sauce would kind of work in with this. But for the most part, I think this is better with red meats. It can work with some grilled meats. I think it will work with some pastas, but I think it would also work with a lot of French dishes that are really rich dishes, and that sort of thing. So I think not bad. This is a pretty decent wine. I kind of like the wine. I think it needs to open up a little bit more, but I think that so far so good. We've been on a winning streak here with the wine lately. I have not had any really bad wines so far in season 5. Season 4, we have had a real mix. but season 5, so far, the wines have been actually pretty decent. I think one reason is because I've gone on a limb and tried wines that were recommended to me, from Trader Joe's and places like that, that I sort of checked out a little bit and I said, oh, okay, this looks pretty good. This sounds pretty good. I could try this out. I guess I really need to do more blind tastings or blind purchases on these wines, so to speak. And maybe make it a little more interesting, okay? Because every week saying, hey, this is a great wine, it gets kind of boring, right? And we need mesh up here with some bad wines too, right? We've also tried some beers and some ciders and coffees on here. Now, I did give a couple of bad reviews to some of the, not really bad reviews, not great reviews to a couple of the coffees that we've done on the show in the past. I don't have a coffee tonight. I do have the official drink with Rick Coffee Maker down there, but we're not doing a coffee tonight. Maybe next week. And What's Up is in the chat on Twitch, and What's Up says, good evening, Rick, and good evening right back at you. What's Up is great to see you, and thanks for joining me here on Thursday night. We did a special Twitch-only stream on Thursday night, just for the Twitch streamer, the Twitch viewers, and that was in preparation for a couple of things that I'm planning to do. I have a little bit of announcement at the end of the show, too, so stick around for that. Okay, well, we've got the pairing out of the way. Let's go ahead and toast the national days. That's what it's time for. Time to toast the national days. By the way, Ether, are you from Canada? Are you Canadian? If so, we're about to toast Canada here, as a matter of fact. Let's go ahead and put up the toasting. There we go. There's our National Days toasting backdrop. Let's go ahead and toast the National Days. I have to reload the wine glass again. Let's get ready to toast the National Days. Then I have a couple of other things to toast. We have a wedding to toast and a birthday to toast as well tonight. Very special birthday, by the way, for a very special lady. Okay. All right. First of all, the National Days. Let's pull up the National Days. All right, and this all come from nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's site. He is the CEO, and he puts all these together. He curates the National Days together. He's got a podcast now, and I think they're currently doing a promotion for I think it's a Vegas-style promotion. You can check out their website, nationalnightcalendar.com, and you can sign up for that and see. You might win. Might win. All right, so July 1st. July 1st, Saturday, July 1st, 2023, is National Play Outside Day. And, of course, that's the first Saturday every month. It's National Play Outside Day. We did not play outside. I slept in. So did my son. We took advantage of the fact that the girls were out, in up in Chicago, and we just kind of slept in. made a late, just kind of, yeah, it was nice. It was a nice, relaxing night for that. Anyway, here's the National Play Outside Day. A drink to that. It's also International Reggae Day. July 1st is International Reggae Day. Do you like reggae? Now, I do like reggae. I mean, it's not my favorite type of music, but I do like reggae, and I like to listen to reggae sometimes. My lovely wife, she likes some reggae, and she's listened to it. She has a few reggae albums on CD that she used to play a lot. Some Bob Marley and all that. And I was looking into reggae a little more seriously when I was younger. And I liked a few reggae bands and some music, but I kind of over the years it was the sort of thing where I didn't really fall out of love with reggae. I never really was in love with it, but I liked it. And over the years, it's just I've listened to it less and less. I should start to, I'm kind of in a reggae mood now, actually. I'm in the mood to listen to some reggae. And Ether says, yep, just got back from a float parade. All right. Well, cool. And I understand we're going to get to that in just a few minutes, but I understand that the different areas in Canada they celebrate Canada Day a little bit differently, don't they? It's not all the same all across Canada, but we're going to get in that in a few minutes. Let's get back to the national days. Anyway, what I was going to do? Oh, yes, International Reggae Day. I'll drink to that. Okay, it's also National Hop a Park Day. First Saturday in July is National Hop a Park Day. Hop a Park Day. I haven't had that much yet. Let's have some more. Then I'll have an excuse. Okay, I've got a Hop a Park story. If you're familiar with hopping parks, park hopping, that's something that when I was working at Disney and they first opened Epcot, and then they opened the Disney the Disney MGM Studios at the time. Now it's I don't know what they call it anymore, but when they first did that, and I was still working at Disney when they opened up Epcot and all that, and when I was working there, I used to do park hopping all the time. And on my day off, I'd go, because I had a card, the Disney employees at the time, I don't know if they're really still doing this much, but at the time, because I worked there, I had a pass that would allow me and three other people to get into the park for free, pretty much any time. Just go for the day, on my day off or whatever, and go to the park. And bring some of my friends with me, or family, or whatever. And when Epcot opened up, we would park hop. We would spend part of the day in the Magic Kingdom, and then we would run over to Epcot and spend the other half of the day there. We'd go back and forth between them because they had the monorail that ran back and forth between the two parks, and you just go in and out of each park as you wanted to. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We got to mix it up. It was, it was kind of a bit of freedom there to go back and forth. Over the years, I think Disney kind of realized the value in that, and because a lot of people wanted to do park hopping, so they set up a whole park hopping pass where you could pay a little extra. See, they never think of saving you money. They always think of, hey, how much more can we charge them for two parks rather than one? So they would do this park hopping pass, and you could go, you buy that special pass, and you can go between the parks as much as you wanted. And that's fine. And when the Disney MGM Studios park opened up, they did the same thing. I included that all three parks. So that's kind of what we did. And that was a lot of fun back then. It really was. Back when Disney was fun to go to. And it didn't cost an arm and a leg. Anyway, here's to National Hoppe Park Day. I'll drink to that. I gotta take the hat off, don't I? Yeah, I keep forgetting to do that. It's also National Ginger Snap Day. July 1st is National Ginger Snap Day. I love ginger snaps. You like ginger snaps? The cookie? Oh, they're really good. Yeah, sort of like snickerdoodles, but they're ginger snaps. So snickerdoodles are usually like softer, right? And then ginger snaps are harder cookie, I think, because they snap. And I'm not talking about that movie, okay? Ginger snaps. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the ginger snaps, the cookie, okay? So we're not going there with the movie. All right, here's to National Ginger Snap Day. I will drink to that. It's also International Day of Cooperatives. The first Saturday in July is International Day of Cooperatives. Now, I have to explain this one, and thanks to nationaldaycalendar.com, I can do so. If I can pull my notes back up. All right. I never took them down. There we go. All right. According to nationaldaycalendar.com, International Day of Cooperatives, or National Day Calendar, celebrates International Day of Cooperatives on the first Saturday in July. This International Day celebrates the cooperative movement and highlights the goals, objectives, and contributions of cooperatives around the world. Now, you're wondering, what is a cooperative? Well, cooperatives are organizations that purchase and market the products of its members. It's also known as a co-op. These associations unite to meet common economic, social, and cultural needs of its members. Now, basically what that means is you it's a co-op. There are a bunch of different businesses that get together, market the products, so, join a co-op, and the products from each company, member company, are cross-promoted between them, I guess you could say. So that's kind of cool. There were I think I joined a co-op a long, long time ago, and for a little while. It was pretty interesting. Didn't really utilize it that much, but it was interesting. Anyway, here is to National Day of Cooperatives. I'll drink to that. Now, it's also National U.S. Postage Stamp Day. Yes, National U.S. Postage Stamp Day. They have a day for postage stamps. Postage stamps get their own day. Do you collect postage stamps? Anybody collect postage stamps? Anybody there? I've collected a few postage stamps. My wife and I have both an occasion gone to the U.S. Post Office when they issue a new stamp and have picked up a little sheet of stamps, and we've kept them over the years. What's up says ginger snaps are good. I just learned they are used in recipes for sauerbraten. Oh, I didn't know that. They're used in recipes for sauerbraten. Huh. Oh, that's news to me. I didn't know that, but that's good. That's good information. I'll have to check that out. Ether says, haven't tried one. Haven't tried a ginger snap. They're good. The ginger snaps are really tasty. Now, some people don't like the taste of ginger. It's grown on me. It's a taste that's grown on me. I won't go into the weeds on that one right now, but ginger is actually, it's good. It's healthy for you, actually. It's very healthy for you, and it's good for your digestive system, and my wife swears by that. I do. It's good for your digestive system. Okay, so National U.S. Postage Stamp Day. I will drink to that. Also, by sheer coincidence, it's National Postal Worker Day. Yes, National Postal Worker Day. By the way, the postal workers are having a tough time right now. I saw a news story this past week where they're trying to address an issue that the U.S. Postal Service is trying to address, a serious issue that apparently, I mean, this is something that's been going on for eons. I mean, it's kind of an old joke where the postal worker, the mailman is being chased by the dog, right? The dog chases the mailman, and there are a lot of jokes in there and a lot of memes about that sort of thing. That's been going on ever since I think the mail delivery has been happening, at least here in the U.S. I don't know about other countries, but here in the U.S., it's like an old, long-standing thing. You know, the U.S. mailman being chased by the dog. It's come up to 2023 where the U.S. Postal Service is finally starting to kind of look at this and say, we've got to do something. Really, it's only been like, what, the U.S. Postal Service has only been around since, what, the 1700s or whatever, and now you're going to start looking at it? I don't know. Maybe they've been looking at it for a while, but apparently they're trying to come up with some kind of resolution for it, because apparently this year so far has been a record year for dog attacks on U.S. postal workers. Now, I'm not really trying to make light of this because, I mean, it can be a dangerous job, you know, in that sense. There have been, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do, from what I saw and heard on the news story about this, that U.S. postal workers have really, really been under some serious attack, have suffered from a lot of serious dog attacks. So it's a dangerous job. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I think being a U.S. postal worker is kind of a thankless job. So it's, you know, a lot of long, hard hours. And, you know, these people have to go into some pretty dangerous areas to deliver the mail, because they have to deliver the mail. You know, you think it's some pretty dangerous neighborhoods and they're still having to go there to deliver the mail. I mean, they're, in some cases, they're literally taking their life in their hands by doing that. So, and I guess a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the suburbs and whatever don't really think about that much. They just see their mailman coming by and deliver the mail. But, you know, these people have to go to some pretty, sometimes they have to go out to some pretty rural places, and sometimes into some really dangerous places. So to deliver the mail every day, they do this every day, through sleet, through snow, through, how's that go? The dark and gloom of night and all that kind of stuff. They got to deliver the mail. So, yeah, I would say, yes, here's to National Postal Worker Day. I'll drink to that. For our national postal workers. It's also, oh, yes, it's national. What did I miss here? Did I miss anything? Yes, I did. National Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day. Today is National Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day. Now, let's talk about creative ice cream flavors. I love ice cream. Who doesn't love ice cream? I would have had a flavor of ice cream here to try this out on the show tonight, but I didn't have my ice bucket with me, the official drink with Rick ice bucket with me, to really keep it cold, because I was going to have to keep it cold and then I have to worry about it melting halfway through the show, like what happened a few weeks ago when I made that float, where it was like half melted when we did that. That was fun to watch, wasn't it? Yeah, I had a huge mess to clean up too. Anyway, so I didn't bring up any ice cream, but when we're talking about creative ice cream flavors, we're not talking about like just Rocky Road. I mean, it's not just the vanilla, the chocolate, strawberry. those flavors, you know, those are the regular flavors. Then they're talking about more creative flavors. Rocky Road can be considered a creative flavor. Birthday cake. I love birthday cake ice cream. You know, that's really good. Superman ice cream. I've had that up north in, not up north, but up in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. They have a great ice cream place, and they serve the Superman ice cream, and it's really cool. I like that. Different flavors. A lot of probably cancer-causing dyes for coloring the thing, you know, blue and red, white and blue stuff. Who knows? Red number 40. But it tastes good. It's really tasty. A lot of really interesting flavors. But you know what? There are some really, really strange flavors that I've heard about. And I'm not going to go through them all tonight. But I have heard they've got bacon-flavored ice cream. There's like a fish-flavored ice cream or something like that. I mean, the stuff that I think is pretty nasty. But there are some flavors of ice cream out there like that. Very creative. I'd say that's ultra creative. Fish-flavored ice cream. I don't think I could do broccoli-flavored ice cream and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know that I could eat that. But I have heard some of them are supposedly very good. Some people really like them. I guess you have to have a taste for that. Bacon-flavored ice cream, I don't know. I don't know about it. I will tell you this, though. Here's something I've run across. I've got to show you this. I stop the show for a second. I got to show you this. Here we go. In the photos. All right. Let me turn this off for just a minute. Let me move this up. Okay. Let me show you when I ran across at Harris Teeter the other day, our local Harris Teeter. And they usually have a shelf full of candies and stuff like that. And we're talking about bacon-flavored ice cream. Let me show you this. This is what I found at our local Harris Teeter here just the other day. And I told my son Tommy, who was with me at the time, I said, "You think I should get some of this?" And he goes, "Oh, gross, no." This is what I came across. This is, I kid you not, this was on the shelf. You can see it there. I took a photo of it. Oscar Mayer, and that's the brand on there, Oscar Mayer brand. This is supposed to be candy, I guess. I didn't buy any. I didn't want to risk it. Oscar Mayer brand gummy bacon. I kid you not. You're looking at it right here. For those who can see it, you can see it right here on the stream. For those who are listening to the podcast later, you just have to trust me on it. You don't really want the description. It looks like a package of bacon. It looks just like a package of bacon, like you'd pull from your refrigerator case, you know, at the supermarket. It looks like bacon, but they're gummies. It's gummy bacon. It was $5.99. I actually thought about springing for some, and I thought, well, you know, it could be fun to try it out on the show tonight. But then I looked at the ingredients, and I said, and the ingredients were a lot of artificial ingredients, a lot of I don't know, the scary stuff in there. So I thought, you know what? I think I'll pass. I don't want to eat this. Okay, but if you look next to that, that's not all. If you look next to the gummy bacon, there is the Oscar Mayer gummy hot dogs. No, yes. Oscar Mayer gummy hot dogs. Really, seriously, same price, $5.99, by the way, Harris Teeter. I'll wait till they go on sale, and I probably still won't buy it. Gummy hot dogs is supposed to taste like, I don't know, it's supposed to taste like a real hot dog? It's supposed to taste like real bacon? See, now my curiosity's peaked. Does it really taste like bacon? Does it really taste like hot dog? Okay, also, next to that in the shelf, which isn't really shown, but you can see a corner of the package on the left-hand side, it was gummy Lunchables. Yes, gummy Lunchables. You can take all these little gummies, put them together, and make a little Lunchable sandwich like you could with the Lunchables, you know? Have we gone insane yet or what? Have we just utterly gone insane? All right. The show, that was a real showstopper, wasn't it? All right, let's get back. Yeah, that's quiet in the chats now. It's like, what? Yes, gummy bacon and gummy hot dogs and gummy Lunchables. What will they think of next? I shudder to think. Anyway, so let's get back to the toasting here. All right, so for the toasting, it is national, it's in, what was it here? National Creative ice cream flavors day. I will drink to that, to a point. I've reached that point. There we go. We have one more national day to toast, and it is, everybody ready? Everybody ready? Drum roll, please. Where's my drum roll? Yeah. It is national. Well, because it is national. It's National Canada Day. It's Canada Day. And I don't think they call it National Canada Day. It's Canada Day. Today, July 1st, 2023, is Canada Day. Now, for those who are not Canadians, let me explain what Canada Day is. For those who are Canadians, definitely we toast you for Canada Day. Canada Day, and this is coming from nationalthecalendar.com. July 1st, Canadians everywhere celebrate Canada Day. The day commemorates the day three provinces, consisting of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and the Canada province, became one country through the Constitution Act on July 1st, 1867. Canadians honor their flag on February 15th. So February 15th, which actually, incidentally, is my birthday. Don't tell anyone. But on February 15th, Canadians honor their flag, the Canadian Flag Day. But today, July 1st, is Canada Day. And so this is the day that Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and the Canada province became one country, united. Canada Day. And in honor of Canada and Canadians everywhere, I would say I will drink to that. Here's to Canada Day. And by the way, I'll drink to Canada Day again. But this time, I'll do it with the fireworks. Here's to Canada Day. I will drink to that. To Canada Day. And for those who are Canadian, I salute you. And, I toast you. I just said, I'll toast you one more time. So, Ether Coney, congratulations. Now, what I was saying before is that Canada Day, that the each of these... Yeah, Ether Coney's just put an emote in there. So the thing about the three provinces, and Ether, you can tell me, you can elaborate on this since you're from Canada. You can elaborate on this a lot to educate us more, those of us who are in the States here, in the United States. As I understand it, the three different provinces actually celebrate Canada Day just a little bit different. There's one province that does all the parades, and then there's another province that does it a little differently, and then a third province that celebrates a little differently from the other two. I'm not really sure about, because I'm not from Canada, obviously, how that works, but that I find that very, very interesting that each province has their own way of doing it. Of celebrating Canada. I think that's actually pretty cool. It's actually very, very interesting. Anyway, to Canada Day, once again. Okay, so we're going to have some birthdays to toast, but I have a few other national days to toast before we get there. I have a birthday to toast and a wedding to toast, as a matter of fact. Get ready for that. I love weddings. And, let's see. Let's get to the national day first for July 2nd, because it's going to be July 2nd and another 43 minutes. Oh, excuse me. Yes, 43 minutes. It's going to be July 2nd, 2023. July 2nd is National Wildland Firefighter Day. That's a tough job. It's a very, very dangerous one. I will toast the wildland firefighters. I'll drink to that. And as a matter of fact, Canada is actually dealing with a lot of that right now. We've been getting a lot of the the smoke from the wildfires up in Canada right now. And that's been happening for the last couple of weeks, I think, or at least the last week or two. But Canada has been dealing with a lot of wildfire issues. I think, from what I've heard, that so far, the amount of the area, the coverage of, and now once again, this is not, I'm not making this up. This is just what I've heard from the news, that the, so far, the area of destruction from the wildfires in Canada has reached the size of, did they say it was the size of Texas? I think that's what it was. No, maybe not Texas. It was one of our bigger states, but I think it was Texas. But apparently an area that size, that's how much of land has been consumed by these wildfires. Now, Canada is a very, very large country. So, but I don't want to say it's Texas, but I think that's what it was, right? Ether, you can tell me, you can set the record straight here if I'm completely wrong on that. But from what I've heard, that's been the issue. So I tell you what, we really feel for all of our Canadian friends up there who are having to deal with this, and hope that gets resolved soon, because that's just terrible, terrible, terrible. I mean, we had wildfires in Washington State and California. We get them every year, and it's always devastating. It's just terrible thing to hear. And I hope our Canadian friends up there can get through this fine. So we're thinking of you up there as well. Ether says, first of all, Ether says, can't wait to see gummy meatballs. They may have those. They may actually have those. But Ether also says, I think it has almost reached Maryland. Oh, my. That's not good either. You know, it's crossing the border into Maryland. That's not good. And Ether's not sure as well on the amount of coverage, but it's a very, very extremely large area. So anyway, getting back to that, here is to... Ether says the size of Maryland. Okay, so it might be the size of Maryland. I think you're actually right. No need to apologize on that. I think it might be... Texas is a pretty big state, so... it might be Maryland I was thinking of. No need to apologize on that. I think it's Maryland. I think that might have been what I saw there. It's one of the states. Probably Maryland. Let's hope it was the size of Maryland and not the size of Texas. It would be bad for it to be the size of Maryland, but boy, the size of Texas. Better to be the size of Maryland than the size of Texas, but better not to have the wildfires at all, obviously. But we'll just take the lesser of the two if we can. So you're probably correct on that, Ether. You're probably correct. Anyway, so here's to the National Wildland Firefighter Day. I will drink to that. It's also National Anisette Day. I don't taste any anisette in this wine, but I will drink to that. Okay, here we come to the big one. Another drum roll, please. It's national. Well, it's world. I need another drum roll. I messed that up. It's World UFO Day. Yes. Okay, so let me explain this. Because we celebrated UFO Day just last week on this show. Let me explain how this works. World UFO Day is July 24th. It's also July 2nd. It's June 24th. Did I say July 24th? June 24th, I meant. It's World UFO Day. It's not national. It's World UFO Day is June 24th and July 2nd. So let me explain how that works. because I just figured it out myself by going to nationaldaycalendar.com. They had to explain it to me because I thought, well, wait a minute, we just celebrated World UFO Day or UFO Day last week. And in honor of World UFO Day, my wife made a really nice presentation, a food presentation, which I'm going to show again in just a moment. But I thought to myself, well, that's crazy. Why did they get two days? And there's a reason for this. Okay, so I'm reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com. World UFO Day commemorates two separate dates, June 24th and July 2nd, on the nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar. The June 24th date recognizes the first widely reported UFO sighting in 1947 by aviator Kenneth Arnold. So that, let's get that cleared. June 24th recognizes the first widely reported UFO sighting in 1947 by aviator Kenneth Arnold. But they're going by the first widely reported UFO sighting. Not the first UFO sighting, because as I understand, watching some of these YouTube videos where you've got the sketching guns on the cave wall and an ancient Egyptian texts and stuff, the UFO, they've seen UFOs before, way back then. But this is the first widely reported UFO sighting here in this country, okay, or here in modern era. Let me say in modern times, okay, in modern times. I'm putting that in there. I'm interjecting that. The first widely reported UFO sighting in 1947 by aviator Kenneth Arnold. Okay. The July 2nd date commemorates the incident that took place the same year in Roswell, New Mexico. So it's actually the July 2nd date that commemorates the UFO sighting in Roswell, the famous Roswell UFO incident, which, of course, has, you know, Area 51 and all that sort of thing. So, this is now this is what my wife made last week. Here we go, the photo there. This is what she made last week for UFO Day. She made this really, really nice presentation. And for those who can't see it, listening to the podcast later, you can go check it out. Go to drinkwithrick.com and look at this there on tonight's show. Or last week's show, because we did it last week too. So, and I've got a second. I got a second photo of this too. Here we go. Here's a slightly different angle because my wife wanted me to get a different angle where you could see the actual landing pad or the tortilla serving as the landing pad for this. Now this is made of it's an eggplant. I'm sorry, it's an eggplant. It's an eggplant with a meatball on top and some cheese on there. Now, the meatball, on top of this meat, it's like a meteor, because it's like a meteorite or a meteor. A meteor ball. Yes, we did the jokes last week. Okay. The meteor ball. Like a meat the ball, but it's a meteor ball. Get it? Okay, enough of that. All right, so that's what we've got there. Now, let's go to some UFO things. Here's some. No, that's the other UFO food. What am I doing? Ah, here you go. Here's my one of my favorite UFO shots. The cat on the Roomba. That's one of my favorite UFO shots. You know, I actually have something to go with that. Here we go. Yeah, the UFO, the classic UFO shot. So, We're talking about UFOs here. Oh, we're getting creepy now, aren't we? So, UFOs. There's some of my favorite UFO pictures. I've seen, let's make sure I showed you everything that I was going to show you. All right. So, anyway, that's what World UFO Day is about. And so there are two separate dates, June 24th and also July 2nd. So it's that's the July 2nd date commemorating the incident that took place the same year in Roswell, New Mexico. So there you go. All right, so here is to World UFO Day. I'll drink to that. Everyone has their theories on what these UFOs are. Tom Antio's in the chat, by the way. Tom Antio says, "How's the wine?" It's actually pretty decent. This is a Bordeaux. It's actually pretty good. This is what this is. It's a Grand Vin de Bordeaux. It's a 2020 Chateau de Cigan. It depends on how you pronounce Cigan. It's a Bordeaux Superior. It's actually pretty good. It's a mix of Merlot and a couple of other wines I don't remember right offhand. It's a mix of Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc, and I do not know what the percentages are on each of those, to be honest. So that's that. Let me go back to this. There we go. All right, so here, once again, it's to World UFO Day. Number two. All right. So I think that does it pretty much for the national days. Yeah, we're done with the national days. Aren't we all happy about that? All right. So anyway, I have a day to toast that I want to commemorate. This is a special day that has been long awaited by many people that we know. Let me get the fireworks here. I want to give a special commemorative toast. I need one more wine, actually. Here we go. Special commemorative toast. Now, as I mentioned before, my wife, Chi, and my daughter, Tia, are up in Chicago this weekend to attend a wedding. And this was for a friend of ours and her husband to be. And they were married, I believe, yesterday. They had the reception. Missed the reception. I heard it was an open bar. I missed the reception for that. And I heard it was a nice open bar. She was telling me all about it today. She had some red wine, which, as you know, she is not a fan of dry red wines. But you know what she had? She had a dry red wine. And she was telling me all about it. So she was pretty excited about it. So it must have been pretty decent. Anyway, so my wife had a dry red wine. How about that? And she liked it, from what I understand. So that was something. I should toast her just for that. Anyway, so our friend was married. She's been dating him for quite a while, and they tied the knot finally. And I want to give a special commemorative toast, a congratulatory toast for the wedding here. This is for Tess and Michael. Tess and Mike, I want to say congratulations on your wedding, on your marriage, and may you have a long and happy life together as one, you know, two people bonded as one. May you have a long and happy life together. Here's to you. Congratulations. And I'll toast that again. To Tess and Michael, Michael and Tess, congratulations. By the way, feel free to clip that if you want to. Spread it around. And let's go back to the chats for just a minute before we get to one. I've got one more toast to do. Let me catch up on here on the chats. So Tom Antio says, sounds scrumptious. Yes, it's actually a pretty decent wine. It's actually a winner. I would recommend this wine so far, but I'll give you the final review at the end of the show, which is coming up very shortly. Trying to keep it a short show. Trying to keep it a light show. How's my light show, by the way? Oh, it's still working. Still moving. There we go. What's up says, exciting midstream development. My eye has been bugging me today, and I just went to look in the mirror. Pretty sure I have pink eye. What? What? No. Wait a minute. That's the wrong one. I'm not trying to make light of this. Okay, what's up? Honestly, I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm shocked. Exciting midstream development. My eye has been bugging me today, and I just went to look in the mirror. Pretty sure I have pink eye. I certainly hope not. That's not a very good exciting. That's not a very good development. I would certainly hope you don't have pink eye. My goodness. Well, wow. I hope you get better quick. Yikes. That's Ether says yikes. Hope you get well. Oh my goodness. What's up says, ha, 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 that's okay. I haven't had pink eye in almost 15 years. Well, who wants to get pink eye ever? Oh, my goodness. Well, I certainly hope you do recover quickly. I don't wish pink eye on anybody. What's up says, hopefully I can see a doc tomorrow. Very annoying for it to happen during a holiday weekend. I would say so. I would say so. That's another thump, thump, thump there. Hopefully you can see a doc tomorrow. It's Sunday tomorrow, isn't it? At least in most places, it's Sunday. Can you see a doctor on Sunday? I guess there might be some. Here's the weird thing is that even the urgent care, some of the urgent care places in our area, you know, this is what bugs me. Oh, I don't want to get into this now, but this is what bugs me. Urgent care, the whole point of urgent care is that you have an urgent issue and you can go to urgent care because they should be open to care for you, right? Urgent care, it's not urgent care. It's like they have hours of operation. At least here they have hours of operation. You got to set an appointment or you have to go in there, walk in the door to urgent care, and it's like a 9-to-5 operation. That's not, if I need urgent care, that's not, oh my goodness, that's not the kind of thing you want for urgent care. It should be open. But then there's the ER. Hopefully you don't have to go to the ER. Goodness. What's up says, I use ZocDoc and found an appointment for tomorrow morning, so we'll see. Well, I really hope you can find someone open on a Sunday to take care of that. That's pink eye is not fun, and it's not it's not anything that's definitely not anything to make light of, really. And I know I'm hitting buttons over here, but I'm not really trying to make light of it. It's just I'm shocked, and I hope you feel better, and I'm sorry to hear about that. I certainly hope I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, honestly, I hope it wasn't. I'm going to be drinking some more here tonight. I'm going to be halfway down this bottle. Pink eye. Wow, that's serious stuff. What's up says, if not, I'll go to urgent care. My only concern is it gets worse and I can't get to anyone because of the holiday. It says, thanks, Rick. Fortunately, it's not anything serious. Well, I hope it's not serious. Absolutely hope it's not serious. Look, you see me. I've got glasses on and I have a very poor eyesight. And I am very sensitive to that stuff. And once again, that's one of the things about the podcast version, and I'm not trying to promote the podcast here. Is what I'm saying is that what we're doing here is a very visual show. We show a lot of visuals. We do a lot of visual effects. We do a lot of things on the show that people listening to the podcast can't see or experience. And oftentimes when the show is done, I have to stay up 2 or 3 hours later to like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, much to the chagrin of my wife, staying up editing the podcast version of the show so that I can optimize that for, and it's not just for those who can't see the visuals because they're listening to a podcast, but for those who are visually impaired. A lot of podcasts are actually there. It's media for those who are visually impaired too. It's, aside from being media for everybody else, for those who are visually impaired, podcasts are a are an excellent media format. So I want to maximize that and to consider those who are visually impaired. I'm very sensitive to that because of my poor eyesight here. Because I'm very, I take that very seriously. So those who are blind, you know, I've talked about Maxwell Ivey, the blind blogger, many times in the show in the past. And he's someone I respect, and he's done very well for himself as a blind person. He's written books. He's a blind man that's written books. And he does his own podcast called What's Your Excuse? Because seriously, what's your excuse? Here's a blind person doing all this stuff and becoming successful, and there are people over here complaining that, well, I can't be successful at this or that. Yeah. He's doing it, and he's blind. He's an inspiration to a lot of people, not just people who are blind or vision impaired, but inspiration to people who can see, like myself. He's a great inspiration to everyone. Anyway, so see how this stream of consciousness goes? Oh, look, a squirrel. No, not you, Bob. You're coming up later. Bill, I'm sorry. I'm calling him Bill. Bob. Bill. Bill's down there. So what's up? I hope you recover very quickly, and don't let it go. Don't let pink eye go. Get it taken care of, and I wish you all the best. And here's to you. What's up, by the way? Don't wish that on anybody. Oh yeah, there's one more toast I want to make. I kind of broke all this up, but let me go back to the toasting because I want to toast. I have a very special toast for a very special lady, and she is a lady in every respect, even when she's yelling at me. She's still a lady. I'm teasing you, of course. This is for my lovely wife, Chi. My lovely wife, Chi, her birthday is in another 20 minutes. Her birthday is July 2nd. I'm not going to tell you her age. I enjoy being married. I want to stay married. But her birthday is going to be today in about 19 more minutes. So to my lovely wife, Chi, and let me show you just briefly what her some of her contributions to the show. She has made many contributions to this show. Of course, aside from doing the putting together the lovely platters that she does every week for this show, and she's volunteered to do that. It's something that she wanted to, a task she took on herself. I didn't ask her to do it. I didn't tell her to do it or anything like that. She volunteered and she took this on herself, and she has become become quite a celebrity on her own on this show because of what she's done with the food preparation for the every week where we do the food. Now, by the way, going back to camera 3 here for just a minute, this plate. I just want to give a shout out to my daughter, Tia. She made this plate for me for this show. It's made for the show. It says, wine brings people together. And right there it says, wine brings people together. She made this for the show. That's my daughter, Tia. And of course, she does all the graphics work, and she does the animation and all that sort of thing. So my daughter is very talented. My wife also is very talented because she has done some pretty amazing things like this. And bear with me for a minute or two. I know I'm being... Yeah, I'm proud of my wife. I'm proud of what my daughter does, and I'm proud of what my wife has done. And she does some pretty amazing things on the show. Let me pull up the... here's one she did. She did the one with the fish. And that's not all. I mean, I guess I can't show them all, but I can show a few of them that are up here if I can find my photos again. Here we go. The fish one... And the wine glass made of radish. You did this. It's a wine glass made of radish. Pretty amazing, huh? She did this with the vacuum. When we did, and these were all for the National Days. When we do the National Days, she'll pick out a National Day or two, sometimes a combination of a couple of them that we're going to toast, and she will do something that's themed for that National Day. So that's what that is for the. I don't remember right offhand what that one was for, but she did this ladybug. This is all made out of food. It's all made out of food. This one right here, she did of this bear serving a cocktail. Pretty amazing stuff. And she's made all these other foods too. Like she made this apple cake. So a lot of stuff. She's done a lot of the stuff with for the show. I think I've showed a few of these. This blueberry strawberry. It's a blueberry strawberry cake. Seriously, she's done this with swans. It's made out of tomatoes. The swan, and of course her famous magic cake. And she has the recipe for that. She's working on a book of recipes, and hopefully it'll be available soon. She did this onion flower. Amazing onion flower. And she did this bird nest. Here's another shot of it here from another angle. The bird nest. Pretty cool, amazing stuff. Donut Day. When we had Donut Day, every year we celebrate Donut Day, she does this thing with the donuts. And that little guy in the little driver in there is made of avocado. Yeah, there's a close-up of it. It's made of avocado. Amazing. She did the cookie boat. She's done. I've got a whole bunch of these things, but I could spend a lot of time just showing them all off to you. But suffice it to say that she's made so many great contributions to the show, and she's just so amazing. Anyway, she's just a really amazing person. So, to my lovely wife Chi, I want to say. Happy, happy birthday. And may you have many, 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 many more. To my lovely wife, Chi. I'll toast her again, too. To my lovely wife, Chi. Happy, happy birthday. This is for Chi. And everyone else is celebrating your birthday, too. What's up says happy birthday to Chi. And let's see, we have folks in the chat. Oh, wow, we have a lot of folks in the chat here. By the way, Valiant Thor is in the chat. And I missed that early on because Valiant Thor is in the chat. And it's great to see you, Valiant. Thanks for being here in the chat. Valiant Thor says, at work, random channel surfing, having lunch, drinking a lot of beer, and saving the world. Chi says, don't drag it, say it, and toast Tess and Mike again, please. Valiant says, chugging beer. By the way, Valiant, hold on a second. I'm going to, because I want to give away something. I like to give away stuff on the show every night. And first of all, once again, to Tess and Michael, congratulations. Here's to you. All right, I toasted them again. Valiant Thor says, chugging more beer. What kind of beer are you drinking tonight, Valiant? What kind of beer are you drinking? So Valiant says, we are currently eating jumbo Butterfield shrimp, lightly stuffed. Oh, no, excuse me, lightly sauteed in a white wine sauce. Oh, wow. She says, people are about to leave. Valiant says, watching from Los Alamos National Laboratory. Wow, cool. Isotope production facility. Well, wow, here's to everyone here, excuse me. Yeah, I've had a little bit of this. Here, for everyone watching from Los Alamos National Laboratory, here's to you. And you can clip that as well. Valiant Thor says, standard practice for theoretical physicists here at Los Alamos who work with tritium to set a day aside and get to drinking. Well, you know what? I'll toast you again just for that. Here's to you and everyone at Los Alamos. By the way, the Los Alamos National Laboratory, I've seen some videos there from there. Some just cool stuff, really cool stuff. Here's to you. And Valiant, because I like to do giveaways in this show. Let me go back to camera with one. Because I like to do giveaways in the show, I'd like to send you a copy of the official Drink with Rick wine tasting and notebook. And let me put it over here so I can get a better shot of this. The Drink with Rick, the official Drink with Rick wine tasting notebook. Get on camera three here again. There we go. This is the official wine tasting notebook for Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Tasting notes and things like that that you can follow along. You can actually do your own wine tastings and put the notes in there. It comes in handy for a lot of things. And also, if you're watching the show, you can follow along and put your own wine tasting notes in there for that. It's whatever you want to do with it. It's fine. This sells on Amazon for $8.99. It's available on Amazon for $8.99, not $899. Trust me, there's nothing that I do that's worth $899. $8.99, but I give them away on the show, and I'd like to give you a copy for free for being here. Thank you. Appreciate it. All you need to do is just go ahead and send me, and it's safe because I don't do anything else with your address, but just to send this out. That's all I do. If you send it to rick@savoyamedia.com, the email address is right down here, rick@savoyamedia.com. Just send me a valid shipping address so I know where to send it to, and I'll send you a copy of this. And as a matter of fact, I'll not only send you that, but I'll send you a pair of the Drink with Rick coasters, the official Drink with Rick coasters. Send them to you. And those of you who have received these, and I do give these away a lot on the show, those who receive these all the time, they can tell you that these are a lot of fun. These are good, and they enjoy them. I get a lot of great feedback for both the book and the coasters and that sort of thing. And as a matter of fact, I shipped out to this past week. Though it took me a week or two to get them out there, but I shipped them out to my friend Rhonda. She jumped in and I sent those out, and people love these things. And Photo Ray's in the chat. Photo Ray has a copy of it. I think he's got the coasters as well. Photo Ray's in the chat. It's great to see you, Photo Ray. Thanks for being here tonight. And you didn't really. And What's Up says, happy birthday. No, she's telling Chi happy birthday. I think I read that one already. So Valiant says, thanks and liked and subscribed. Well, I appreciate that, Valiant. I really do. I honestly do. I don't put it's something that I don't push much. And if you watch the beginning of the show, usually I say, yeah, you can like and subscribe and all that stuff to YouTube and Twitch and everywhere I am, where I'm streaming, but it's not a hard requirement. I don't push it that much only because sure, I love the likes and subscribes and I really appreciate when you do. I do. But it's not something that I harp on too much. And it's not like I push it really hard because I'm doing this really more for fun. And I'm just happy that you're here. Whether there are a lot of people that watch this show, like with Chi is with 8 people right now. And this is an example of how this show works. I have folks that watch the show. Sometimes they'll watch it in a sports bar or something like that. And it's playing on the sports bar and people are watching it there. And there's a whole group of people watching. They can't like or subscribe there, really, because they're just watching it. But they're watching it. There are people that are watching at home on their TV with a group of people or with a party or something like that. And then it happens all the time. I get feedback from people saying, yeah, we had a whole bunch of us over and we're having a party or we're having to get together and we're just watching it on the TV. That's what means a lot to me. Because I'm like, well, okay, if I'm entertaining people and the whole group of them is just sitting there together watching, that's what the show's really about. Everybody just getting together as a group, just getting together and just having a good time together. And it doesn't really matter where you are. If you're at a sports bar, if you're at home, or if you're wherever you are at a party or whatever, we're just watching together, just being here together and just having a great time. That's what counts. That's really what counts. And I do appreciate the likes and subscribes. That means a lot, and that helps move things forward a lot. But it's not something that I count. In other words, I don't mean that it count. I mean count everybody. I count all of you. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't concentrate on that. You know, I'm not a person who looks at the stats. What I'm looking at, and I actually talked about this this week, actually, to in a Facebook group, one of the Facebook groups. It was the Podcasters Movement group, I think is what it was. And someone had posted something about, well, I've got this many subscribers and my channel has got to be growing and all this sort of thing. And it's like, how do you guys deal with that? And I'm like, look, I don't look at the stats. I'm not looking at my stats. I don't really care about my stats for this show. What I care about is engagement. That's what counts. What counts is who's engaging with me, who's watching, who's listening, who's talking with me. The feedback, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, the feedback that I get, that's what counts to me. You know, it's like, are we engaging? Are we developing a relationship? That's the thing. That's what's important to me, is our relationship. That's what counts. So, I really appreciate it, Valiant. And yes, just email rick@swimmedia.com and it's right there. And I'll get all of that out to you. Hopefully you're in the United States. Well, you are in the United States. You're in Los Alamos. We can ship there. That's not a problem. And to everyone in Los Alamos, at the theoretical physics laboratory there, just you once again. I think that's actually really cool because, and I'm honored because I have watched so many videos related to what you guys are doing there and reading what you guys are doing there. It's really cool. I get into some of that stuff. I can't say that I understand all of it 100%, but I think it's so cool. Wow. So I'm honored. I really am. All right. Well, I think that if anyone else has a birthday or whatever you want to toast, go ahead and let's bring it up. Birthday or anniversary or anything. I'm in the mood. I'm doing pretty well with the wine as it is. So I still have half a bottle of wine. So, okay, don't worry, Chi. I'm good. Still have a bottle of wine there. So, anyway, Photo Ray says, suddenly I feel like cueing the music from the Coke commercial, I'd like to teach the world to sing. Ah, yes, have a Coke and a smile. I saw something about Coke earlier this week, and yeah, I don't want to go there. I think it was an early Coke commercial with some celebrities. Anyway, so do we have time for Danjo? We were going to talk about sci-fi. We're going to talk about some sci-fi trivia. Let's do that before it gets too late, because it's getting kind of late now. Wow, I went long, and I said I wasn't going to, but I did. So let's talk about some sci-fi trivia here, a little bit of sci-fi trivia. Everybody like that? I am a big sci-fi geek. I love sci-fi. I'm a big fan of that. Well, I could show some of my films now, but I don't want to do it. You know, I had a couple of things here that I was going to throw out there for sci-fi trivia. Something I came across. You know, I was watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And I'll be honest, I loved Star Trek when I was a kid. I used to come home from school, instead of doing my homework, I'd sit there and watch Star Trek, the original series, of course, TOS, as they call it. And, you know, I was a big fan of Star Trek at the time. Then, of course, when Star Wars came out, I was a real big Star Wars fan. Still like both. Then, you know, you've got these two camps. You got the Star Wars and the Star Trek camp, and some of them are kind of intermingled, but a lot of them are kind of like apart like this. And I was like, oh, I'm Star Wars, I'm Star Trek. I like both. And the thing is about Star Trek is that some of the series I've watched a little bit. Now, I saw all of Deep Space Nine. I saw all of the Next Generation and that. Voyager, I saw most of the episodes of Voyager. But when I got to Star Trek Enterprise, and this is kind of ironic because I really like Scott Bakula as an actor. Quantum Leap and all that. NCIS New Orleans. Chi and I watch NCIS New Orleans from start to finish almost, and it was great in that. And the thing is with Star Trek Enterprise, I didn't really follow that too much when it first came out. For some reason, I don't know why, but after Deep Space Nine, and after that, I kind of really didn't follow Star Trek as much. Enterprise came out, I was like, I was kind of out of the Star Trek mode, doing other things, so I didn't really follow it when it was airing. But I went back and watched a lot of the episodes after it aired. It was too bad. There were people that didn't like it. There were a lot of people that didn't like Enterprise. There were some that thought, it was okay. But I kind of liked it. Now, yes, it was. I do agree to the point that it was somewhat formulaic. It was following the Star Trek formula, the whole formulaic thing. And that was one of the things that I had a problem with Star Trek, is that they'd have this, well, and not with the original series so much, but when we got into, we started getting into Next Generation, the latter part of Next Generation, which they did a lot of interesting things there, but some of the other series, they would get so formulaic that they got to the point where here's an issue or here's a problem or here's some kind of disaster that we have to confront. And then here's all the middle stuff that gets into all the drama. And then at the end, it's like the last 3 minutes, there's some kind of it's almost like the writers write themselves in a corner and they have to come up with some kind of solution in the last 3 minutes. That's the part that really bugged me about some of those. They write themselves into some sort of a corner, and they say, okay, what can we do in the last 3 minutes that we can get out of this? And some sort of resolution. And maybe it was planned. I don't know. Maybe it was. But it seemed to me that as some of the series went on, that they kind of, put themselves, painted themselves a corner, so to speak. And it's like, okay, how do we find a way out of this? Like real quick. That's like in the last minute or two. And let me go back to the chat again. Let me see what everybody else thinks. Photoray says, in Gene Roddenberry's original treatment for Star Trek, what was the name of the starship? Oh, that's a good trivia question. Excellent, excellent trivia question. Wow, what's the Starship Yorktown? Yorktown. Actually, they've used that name. I couldn't remember, to be honest. Well, Photoray, you get some applause for that. Very good. Actually, I had heard that, but I'd forgotten about it. But they used the Yorktown in a couple of other episodes. They utilized the name. And I want to say I'm pretty sure they used it in The Next Generation, what's known as TNG. And I think they used it in, what was the other one? I can't remember right offhand, but they used it a couple of times. I think they used it in one of the movies too, I think. Yeah, Photoray says, when Ronald Reagan visited the set of Star Trek The Next Generation, what species did he say reminded him of Congress? Another good trivia question. That's a good one. I don't know. What I give up on that one. What's the Klingons? The Klingons. Wow. That's pretty good. That's funny, actually. You know, the thing is about Ronald Reagan, whether you liked him or hated him, or in between, he was very, very pithy with the quips. He was. He was very fast on his feet with – and I don't know if he really practiced all that or not, but he, it was like something he kept in his head or something, but he was very quick with the quips, with the one-liners, with the jokes. That was actually a very entertaining aspect of Ronald Reagan. He's in mind of Congress of Klingons. Photoray says, what actor from Star Trek, the original series, lost his right middle finger during World War II? From Star Trek, the original series? Good question. I don't know. Now, it seems to me that... Okay. Oh, Jimmy Doohan. Jimmy Doohan lost his middle finger during World War II. That I didn't know. Now, I did know that... Or at least I heard, I don't know how true this really is, but the trivia, a MASH trivia, was that the guy who played Radar O'Reilly, he was missing a finger. And they shot all of his stuff without the missing finger. They usually shot around that, so you really couldn't tell that his finger was missing. That was what I heard. I don't know how true it is, but that's what I've heard. Photoray says, you got it. Jimmy Doohan. James Doohan, that, he was a classic actor. And he loved his... And for real, he loved his scotch. Wrote that into the show, but he really did love his scotch. Photoray says, what is Lieutenant Uhura's first name? I know this one. Wow, I've had so much wine, though, I don't know if I can remember it. All right, Photoray, can anyone else guess? What was Can anyone else guess before? Okay, he just posted it, but can anyone else guess what Lieutenant Uhura's first name was? And no, it wasn't Lieutenant. That's a Columbo thing. There was a Columbo episode where they always wondered what his first name was. And someone actually asked him in one of the Columbo episodes, and says, well, what's your first name? And he goes, Lieutenant. But no, that's I'm a Columbo fan. I'm sorry. My whole family, we're Columbo fans. We like Columbo. But Lieutenant Uhura's first name, according to Photo Ray, is Nyota. Nyota Uhura. By the way, we did get the opportunity to see Nichelle Nichols before she passed. It was a couple of years, about 2 years before she passed away. We got to see her at DragonCon 1 year. And she was actually, I think she was the guest of honor there in the parade, and she was running up front. We all got to see her there. It was pretty cool. She, even at her age, beautiful lady, just a beautiful lady, inside and out, and a really, really great person, that lieutenant, or that was Nichelle Nichols, and a lady of grace, and I'll say that it was sad to lose her, as well as the others who have passed from Star Trek. Of course, Leonard Nimoy, another one who, wow, Leonard Nimoy has had such a great career. He was in a lot of things. He was in a lot of different shows. You know that? Did you know that Leonard Nimoy was on an episode of all shows? He was on an episode of Perry Mason. And they had him on the stand testifying. And I saw that episode fairly recently. And he was on an episode of Perry Mason testifying on something. It was pretty cool to see Spock on Perry Mason. Pretty weird, but pretty cool, actually. He had quite a career. And of course, as you know, he was also on A Mission Impossible, another favorite show that my lovely wife, Chi, and I still watch episodes of Mission Impossible. We love the original. Okay, Tom Cruise, if you're watching, I'm sorry, but you just totally ruined Mission Impossible for me and my wife. You just totally ruined it. Okay, I'm sorry, Tom, if you're watching. But look, with all due respect, I like you in Top Gun. I liked you in a lot of movies, but you just I liked you in Edge of Tomorrow. But you totally ruined it for me with the Mission Impossible franchise. I know a lot of people like it. I don't like it. I never watched actually after the third one. I was done with it. Mission Impossible, the TV series, is canon, and that's the way it is. I'm sorry. Okay, Peter Graves and Lupus and all those people who were in the original series, including Leonard Nimoy, who played Paris on the show. Just a great series. And I really enjoyed watching the episodes of Leonard Nimoy. I'm pouring some more. It's okay. Saturday night. Cheese in Chicago. I'm here. I'm missing her. Photo Ray says one more, a really geeky one. What type of weapons technology does a phaser use? I'd like to say phaser technology, plasma technology. I don't know what. I give up on that. I'm not really sure about that one. Although, I'm guessing that our friends over at Valiant and our friends over at the Los Alamos facility there probably know. the theoretical physicists there at Los Alamos, they probably know the answer to this one. Photoray says particle beam technology. Here's the thing about Star Trek. A lot of the technology that Roddenberry and their people that just came up with this stuff for the show has actually been brought to realization or is being worked on to be brought to realization. And it's theoretically possible. Some of this is theoretically possible. There are people that have made great strides in some of this. And it's actually pretty amazing how a TV show such as Star Trek had actually predicted a lot of the things that we have today or a lot of things that are being developed today. That's actually pretty amazing. Photoray says, speaking of Leonard Nimoy, who was originally scheduled to play Spock? Now, I know this one. I know this one. I'm going to tell you, but you go ahead and put it in there. But I know this one. I think I know this one because I just read that the other day. Again. Star Trek, the thing is about Leonard Nimoy, he had a lot of people just know him as Mr. Spock, but he had quite a career. He had quite a career before Star Trek and afterwards, after Star Trek. And, you know, the same could be said of some other actors that back in the 60s that people thought of, okay, that person could only play, you know, that's how they typecast that person. Like, for instance, the original Batman, or the original, we call the original Batman. He had quite a career. Before that, he was in a lot of other shows a lot of people don't know about, a lot of people are not aware of. I'm getting off the beaten path for sci-fi here, but tell me, Photoray, who was originally scheduled to play Spock? And we'll see if anybody else knows. Yep, that's correct. Actually, there were a couple of people that were looked at to play Spock, but Martin Landau, since you mentioned Mission Impossible, that's what he's, Photoray's saying to me, Martin Landau was actually going to play Spock. Leonard Nimoy took the part. Martin Landau was actually already, he was already preoccupied. But Martin Landau, actually, you know what? His wife, and that's one of the reasons why she likes to watch that show. She likes the original first 2 years of Mission Impossible because Martin Landau was in it. And his wife, the lady who played as a matter of fact, here's another sci-fi trivia here. Martin Landau and his wife, can you name his wife at that time? Martin Landau and his wife not only starred together in Mission Impossible during the first two seasons, or the first three seasons, I think, of Mission Impossible, but they also starred together in Space 1999. In Space 1999, can you name his wife? There you go. And she loves her, and she likes to watch the episodes where she's in it. Can you name the actress who played opposite him in Mission Impossible and in Space 1999? We'll close out the show then because the show's getting running pretty late. I said it was going to be a short show, but it's running long. Yeah, so Martin Landau. I don't know. How do you pronounce it? Landau? I don't know. But actually, if you look up Martin Landau, and you know his, he passed away. When did he pass away? He passed away in, wasn't that long ago? 2017, I think. Wasn't he? Was it 2017? It was, he passed away in 2017. Great actor, by the way. Excellent, excellent actor. Okay, who was the lady that played in Mission Impossible? She played the primary lady there. Chi knows the answer. Are you still there, Chi? Photo Ray has it. Anybody else has it? Okay. Yeah, Photo Ray has the correct answer. Martin Landau was married to Barbara Bain, and she also played on Mission Impossible with him. Now, they divorced, I think, in, I want to say it was like a few years after they left Mission Impossible, but they starred together on Space 1999. That was, I think they were still married then at the time in Space 1999. Also a classic sci-fi show that I really enjoyed. Photoroy says, it's funny, once those shows came out, can anyone picture anyone else playing those characters? No, absolutely not. And that's one of the things that really bugs me about these reboots. It really bugs me about some of these reboots. And not mean to get into the away from the sci-fi stuff, but we're talking about TV trivia in general. Some of these reboots, some of the things that really bug me about these reboots, Mission Impossible is one of them. But when we're talking about the TV shows, Hawaii Five-O, I can't imagine anybody else playing McGarrett on Hawaii Five-O or Danny, you know, Dano, or any of those people on Hawaii Five-O, or let's say, for instance, MacGyver. They rebooted MacGyver. There's only one MacGyver. Come on. And it's not this guy playing him now. I'm sorry, but it's not. you know, all these reboots. I think some of these reboots just totally ruin the legacy of these shows. I think that's what they do. And that's what Disney's doing. Disney's just totally ruining Disney from doing all these reboots. And I'm not going into a long discussion there because it's getting really too late now. But we could talk about that all night. Why not? We got all night, don't we? No, we don't. But I want to say it's time to close up now. But let me give you my last review, my final review on this wine. Okay, this is what we've been drinking. We've been drinking the Chateau de Sagan Bordeaux Superieur. And this is a 2020 wine. And this is actually pretty decent. It's a very easy drinking wine. Blackberry, black cherry. It's a little bit oaky, a little bit earthy. And medium tannins, so people are saying the tannins were kind of strong. Medium tannin for me. It's also, they were saying that it's fairly bold. I don't think it's that bold. I think it's kind of medium. It's medium bodied, medium bold. Not really bold. It's kind of medium, you know. But it's very easy to drink. As I'm drinking now, went very well with everything on this platter. Went well with the meteor ball. Went well with the all the cheeses, the Colby Jack and the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, which no surprise there really, since the Double Cream Gouda is always good. Goes good with all of that. And I think it's pretty good with steaks, pasta, and a French food, a rich French food that can cut some of the richness of that French food. I think it goes pretty well with. I like it. I think it's a pretty good wine. And actually, as opposed to the wine that we did last week, which I said probably wasn't really a, well, it was a week before that, that I said wasn't really a party wine, wasn't a wine that you would drink by itself, something you would drink with other things. This is something that you could drink on its own. This is pretty decent. It has, now, as I understand from their website, it is a combination of, let me see if I can pull that up again. Yeah, Merlot. It's a combination of Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and a Cabernet Franc. And it's actually not a bad combination. Now, as you know me, blends, red blends are kind of a hit and a miss. And a lot of Bordeaux's, for the most part, are blends. But I do like Merlot. It's starting to hit, isn't it? Yeah. I do like Bordeaux's. But those are sometimes hit and miss too with me. But I do like this one. This one's pretty decent. I like it. 13.5% alcohol by volume. So it's not a bad wine. And it went pretty well with everything on the platter here tonight. So I would recommend it. Anyway, so I think it's time to close up for tonight. I really didn't do anything too crazy tonight, did I? Did I do anything crazy tonight? I don't think so. I don't remember. Anyway, so I want to thank. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining me here tonight on World UFO Day, by the way. Yeah. World UFO Day. All right. So thanks for joining me here tonight on World UFO Day.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just... I've had too much of this. So anyway, thanks for joining me here tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined me here on the chats, everyone who joined me on Facebook and on Odyssey and on, where were we? Oh, yes, thank you, Valiant Thor, for joining me here. Don't forget to put in your valid shipping address so I can ship you out the free book and the coasters. Chi, my lovely wife Chi, and everybody who is watching tonight, thank you for being here. And also everyone who joined me on Twitch. Ether, Coney, thank you for being here. And What's Up, and Photo Ray, and Tom Antio, and everybody who's there. And I really appreciate, thank you for being here. I appreciate each and every one of you. I do want to make a quick announcement. What's Up says, have a good week, Rick. Have a good Rick week. Yeah, I know. By the way, thanks for joining me here tonight, and enjoy your 4th of July weekend. I know we didn't celebrate the 4th of July because technically it's not here yet, but enjoy your 4th of July weekend. For some of us, it's an extended weekend. It is for me and for my son Tommy. But I do want to say that I have a big announcement at the very end here. A big announcement is that starting tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be launching a new channel. And we're going to be launching it with some legacy podcasts and some videos and some of my films, some of which you haven't seen before. I know we've shown a lot of my films on the show in the past, but you may not have seen some of them. But we're going to be launching this. Check the blog. Check the blog at drinkwithrick.com so you can get the link and you can find out where this is going to happen. It's a brand new channel that's going to be starting. And I hope you'll join me for that. I really, really appreciate you checking that out. I think you'll enjoy it. Anyway, thanks for being here tonight. I do appreciate each and every one of you, as I always do. Now it's time to bring out one more person. One more celebrity. It's not that. It is, of course, Roadkill Bill. Roadkill Bill, who has a message for you. And the message is, please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. Don't drink and drive. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend who has not been drinking, by the way. Give them the keys. Right, Bill? Yeah, right. And have them drive you home. Otherwise, just stay put for the time being. Okay? Don't put yourself at risk. Don't put others at risk. Think of those around you as well as yourself. Please don't drink and drive. Also, don't text and drive, because that's also very dangerous. And I've seen that a lot lately. And it's, some near misses on that too. I mean, that's crazy stuff. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. That's right. Especially during this holiday weekend, where you've got so many people out on the road celebrating July 4th. Don't drink and drive, please. I implore you. Because I want you to have a great week and a great 4th of July coming up. But most of all, I want you to have a safe holiday and a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.